بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Welcome to the series The Lives of the Wives of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين. Where should we start our journey? Indeed, our journey begins with the first wife of our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, about whom the Prophet said, خير النساء في زمانها. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she was the best woman in her time. And who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, خير النساء في أهل الجنة, that she is the best woman of the women of paradise. And yet in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about her that her blessings and her greatness compared to other women of his nation are comparable to the greatness and the blessings of Maryam upon the women of all of the world. And we are talking about none other than our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha, the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khadija, our mother Khadija, she has many, many virtues, some of which are the following. She was the first person to accept Islam from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the mother of all of the children of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam except one, Ibrahim. She had the honor of being given the salams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angel Jibreel. She was given the glad tidings of a home in paradise directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, we are going to embark on our journey on Ummahatul Mu'mineen with our first mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid. SubhanAllah, if we want to look at the greatness of Khadija bint Khuwaylid, we go to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many stories of many great women. But two women in particular, Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu salam, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, as we know, brothers and sisters, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the leader of the Siddiqeen in, inshallah, the Day of Judgment. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he will be the Amir of the people of truth on the Day of Judgment for the men. But subhanAllah, who will be the leader of the truthful women on the Day of Judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Tahrim,
وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فرجها فنفخنا فيه من روحنا وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه وكانت من القانتين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Maryam alayha salam and he says, وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ, that she believed firmly and she affirmed the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as his books. In the fifth chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Maryam, the mother of Isa, by saying, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ, that the mother of Isa alayhi salatu salam is a truthful woman. The second woman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in a very nice way is Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, and he says that Asiya, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a home in paradise. SubhanAllah, these two great women have qualities which are particular to themselves. But if you want to know the greatness of Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, SubhanAllah, sisters and brothers, she possessed both qualities. She was from the people of truth. Why? Because she was the first one to believe in the nabuwah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And secondly, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, هَذِهِ خَدِيجَةٌ قَدْ أَتَتْ مَعَهَا إِنَاءٌ فِيهِ إِدَامٌ أَوْ طَعَامٌ أَوْ شَرَابٌ فَإِذَا هِيَ أَتَتْكَ فَقْرَأْ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامُ مِنْ رَبِّهَا وَمِنِّي وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا سَخَبَ فِيهِ وَلَا نَسَبٍ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he said, هَذِهِ خَدِيجَةٌ. Our mother Khadija was walking towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Jibreel. He said, هَذِهِ خَدِيجَةٌ. He said, this is Khadija coming to you with some type of food substance, either a soup or some type of drink, coming towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, so when she comes to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give her salams from who? Sisters, you're getting ready to shake. Give her salams from who? Give her salams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. Give her salams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What type of woman was our mother Khadija radiallahu anha? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending her the salams. So he said, فَقْرَعْ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامِ رَبِّهَا وَمِنِّي. Give her the greetings of salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from her Lord, and from me, from Jibreel. La ilaha illallah, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jibreel are given the greetings to our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha. Then he says, وَبَشِّرْهَا, and give her the good news, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of a home in paradise. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the greatness of our mother, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, by giving her these two qualities that were possessed by two of the greatest women that ever lived. The quality of truthfulness and the quality of being granted paradise, insha'Allah ta'ala. If we want to know the greatness of our mother Khadija, we can look at a hadith related by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, which is related by Imam An-Nasa'i. When Aisha radiallahu anha says, مَا غِرْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا غِرْتُ عَلَىٰ خَدِيجَةٍ. I was not envious of any of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as I was envious of Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And she says in another narration, which is also authentic, that there was not one day that would pass except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would remember our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about our mother Khadija radiallahu anha in an authentic hadith, خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمْ وَخَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا خَدِيجَةٌ بِنْتُ خُوَيْلِدٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best woman in her time was Maryam, and the best woman in her time or in her ummah was Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And one of the narrators of this hadith, subhanallah, when he was narrating this hadith, he took his hand and he moved his hand up to the heavens and down to the earth to show that there was no better woman that lived who was better than our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid. So now we start our journey with our first mother, our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. Shall we want to begin by talking about her life before marriage? And we want to first talk about her lineage and her family background. She is Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the daughter of Khuwaylid. Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, the son of Asad, the son of Abdul Izzah, the son of Qusay, the son of Kilab, the son of Murrah, the son of Ka'b, the son of Lu'ay, the son of Ghalib, the son of Fir. SubhanAllah, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, this is her family lineage. And she was related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Lu'ay. Her mother, subhanAllah, what would you guess is the name of the mother of Khadija? Just think about it. What would be maybe a name that you would think of which would ring in your mind that would be the name of the mother of our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid? SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, the name of the mother of Khadija was Fatima. Fatima bint Zaida. Fatima, the daughter of Zaida. SubhanAllah, Khadija's mother, her name was Fatima. And we know that one of the daughters of Khadija bint Khuwaylid, her name was Fatima. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong with giving the name of our wife's family to our children, because it was practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his daughter Fatima, who insha'Allah ta'ala was named after her grandmother, Fatima bint Zaida. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the scholars say that she was born 15 years prior to the incident of the elephant, and that she was raised in a good home, and that she was educated and beautiful. She was married at a young age to Abu Hala, and she gave him two children, Hala and Hind. And later on, Abu Hala, he would pass away, and our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid would have to marry for a second time. Now, it's important to realize that when Khadija bint Khuwaylid was being raised in the house of her father, Asad, and her mother Fatima, that her house was one of the houses which represented the aristocracy of Mecca. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, as we say, had it going on. Khadija bint Khuwaylid was extremely popular. Khadija bint Khuwaylid was educated. Khadija bint Khuwaylid was beautiful. Khadija bint Khuwaylid had a good family. Khadija bint Khuwaylid was, you could say, as Ibn Ishaq, he mentions in his seerah, that Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha, was the most sought after woman in Mecca. She was extremely popular. And because of that, she married Abu Hala first. And as we mentioned, she was blessed with him with two children, Hala and Hind. A short time later, she would marry a second husband after her first husband died. And she married to Atiq, the son of A'ith, the son of Abdullah from the tribe of Makhzum. And again, subhanAllah, a short time after her marriage to him, he would also pass away and she found herself alone. The ulama said that Khadija bin Khuwaylid, her father died. And when her father died, he left her a large inheritance and his business. So Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha was a single woman, rich and operating a business. And because of this, she was the most sought after person in the eyes of the people of Mecca. Everybody was trying to marry her. And Khadija bin Khuwaylid had a very, very good reputation. In fact, the Quraysh, they gave her two nicknames called laqab. And a laqab in Arabic is a nickname that you earn, some type of quality that you have, which is a good quality. People give you that laqab, so inshallah ta'ala that you will exemplify that quality more and it will become part of your personality. The first name which they gave to our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid was Sayyidatul Nisa'ul Quraysh, the master of the woman of the Quraysh. Another name which was given to our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid was At-Tahira. At-Tahira, At-Tahira, the pure woman. She was a businesswoman and she used to do her business with different men from the Hijaz. However, when she would do this business with them and have them go to Sham, and the trade which used to go to Sham and to Yemen was actually started by Hashim, the relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she used to send these men to Sham and to Yemen to take care of her business for her. However, she would always get ripped off. They would always be playing games with her refund and so on and so forth. SubhanAllah, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, people continued to propose to her. People continued to offer their hand in marriage to her, but she refused. And she heard, subhanAllah, of a man named Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had the laqab of what? Al-Amin, the trustworthy. And that he was trading for different people in the area of Mecca, and that he was known for his honesty and his good character. She decided to offer him a chance to take her goods to Asham. And she did so by going through the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Talib. And at that time, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they were from a notable family, they were suffering from financial difficulties. So Abu Talib, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take this job from our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid. Why? First of all, that he could help her because she was getting ripped off by people. And also because the family was going through difficult times, and perhaps inshallah ta'ala, this would be a way for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to generate some income and it would help the family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he agreed, and Khadija bin Khuwaylid contracted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go to Sham, and she sent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam her servant Maysara. Maysara would accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Sham and back to Mecca. And Maysara, his job was to keep an eye on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make sure that he was straight in his business, to make sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not try to rip Khadija bin Khuwaylid off or try to, you know, engage in some type of funny business. Subhanallah, Maysara, he noticed some different things about this companion in comparison to those other people that he had traveled with before. And some things happened which he never witnessed before from any human being, and it amazed him. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Maysara began to travel, Maysara would be the first person to get a glimpse of the light that was beginning to float from the horizons of the future. This light which would shine, lifting the shadows of idolatry and debauchery from the lives of the Arabs and the world, Maysara would be the first one to experience it. Upon arriving in Sham, Maysara and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they took some rest under some trees, as was the custom in those days of the businessmen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was resting under the tree, and Maysara, he began to walk around, and he met one rahib, one monk who he knew before. And the monk, he asked Maysara, "Who is that resting under the tree over there?" And Maysara responded, "A man from the Quraysh, from the precincts of the Haram." And subhanallah, this monk, his response was very unique. He said to Maysara, "ما نزل تحت هذه الشجرة إلا النبي." The one who is resting under this tree is no other than a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Maysara, he was taken back. Later on, as was the custom in those days when people used to go to the markets and they would do business with each other, they would ask each other to swear on their false gods, you know? And nowadays you see this with Muslims. "I put that on my mama, I put that on my daddy, I put that on my greasy, greasy granny." Such behavior by Muslims is unacceptable, because the only time we are allowed to swear is when we say, "Wallahi," when we swear on our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Maysara, he noticed that this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people would ask him when they were doing business, "Put that on Lut, put that on Lut, put that on Al-Uz, put that on Al-Lat." And Maysara, he noticed that when the people would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to swear on false deities like Al-Uz, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say to them, "I do not swear by these deities. I do not swear by these pagan false gods." Sometimes also on the trip, Maysara, he would notice that it seemed as though a cloud was shading this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of these things really caused the entrance and the awe that Maysara had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to increase more and more. And eventually, by the end of the trip, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the Habib of Maysara. Maysara, he began to love this man because of his character and the things that he noticed about him. Upon their return to Mecca, Khadija bin Khuwaylid was in for a big, big, big surprise. And that was when she looked at the amount that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given back to her. She noticed it was more than she had ever received from anyone else. And immediately she was struck. And we can only imagine what our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid must have been thinking of. Khadija bin Khuwaylid at that time was 40 years old. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 25 years old. Khadija bint Khuwaylid came from an austere family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came from a family which was very noble, but as we said before, he was an orphan, and at the same time, he was poor. So a lot of doubts must have been going in the head of our mother Khadija. For example, we can assume she probably said, "What will the people think about this marriage? What will my family say about this marriage? What will this man, this 25-year-old man, say when someone like me, who is in her 40s, would like to marry him?" SubhanAllah, this happens to us even to this day. Sometimes our brothers and sisters, they think about, you know, "I would like to marry this girl, I would like to marry this brother." And we get confused. And really, where should we run to? SubhanAllah, in these difficult times, we have two important things. One of them was utilized by Khadija bint Khuwaylid, our mother. And the other was legislated later on in the Islamic system. The first one is Ashura. Because we know the steps to getting married are four. The first one is the glance. The second one is Ashura. The third one is Al-Istikhara. And the fourth one is Al-Khutbah. That the steps to getting married are these four things. To see the person that someone's interested in. To discuss this person with one's family members or wali or close people close to you. Third, to make Salatu Istikhara, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his assistance in helping us choose the right mate. And the fourth is the khutbah, when one makes their intentions known to their intended spouse. Khadija bin Khuwaylid, where she will go now? In this difficult time, making this difficult decision, she went to her friend Nafisa. It's very important, subhanAllah, that we surround ourselves with good friends. So that when we have these difficult decisions to make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us with our friends, the believers. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ar-rajulu ala dini khalil," that the man or the woman is on the religion of their friend. So she went to Nafisa and she began to tell Nafisa, "You know, I'm interested in this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And Nafisa, this is a true friend. There was no jealousy, there was no envy. She was so happy for Khadija bin Khuwaylid, and she gave her all the confidence that yes, you can do it. Nafisa, she left Khadija bin Khuwaylid, our mother, and as she was walking through the streets, subhanallah, guess who she met? She met none other than Al-Amin alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said to the Prophet, "Ya Muhammad, ma yamna'uka an atazawwaj?" "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it that stops you from getting married?" SubhanAllah, brothers, listen to the response of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "I don't have the means to get married. I don't have the means to get married." Unfortunately, sometimes we fail to realize that it's very important that before we get married, we are able to take care of our wife. Because our wife has some rights on us. And one of the rights is spending. And that spending is divided into two according to the Sharia. The first is the obligatory spending. The maintenance, the home, the clothes, the medicine, the good treatment. وَعَشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, being good to them. And the second is what we call, yani, the extra jilbab. Those things which one does to their wife or for their wife to win the heart of their wife, to make their wife happy, to make their wife's life happy. That's the spending which, of course, is not an obligation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his response was, "I don't have the means to get married." Nafisa, she responded and said, "What if the person who is interested in you, there's no problem about money. There's no problem about these things." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Who is that?" And Nafisa, she said, "Khadija bint Khuwaylid." Our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, mashaAllah. Look at how Nafisa, mashaAllah, has this adab in presenting the proposal of our mother Khadija, radiallahu anha, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We took also a ruling from the fiqh here that it is allowable for a woman to make the intentions to a man. Many times we think only the men can make intentions to women, and what happens, many of our sisters are left out in the cold because culturally it's not acceptable for them to make intentions on a man. But subhanAllah, here we see the best woman, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, proposing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted, but he said, "First, let me go and talk to my elders. And when Khadija bin Khuwaylid was informed that the Prophet ﷺ was good and he accepted this, she did the same thing. And she went to talk to her uncles and her family members and see what was their response to allowing her to marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an important lesson we take here that whenever we have to make major decisions, it's always good to refer our decisions to elders so that we can get the wisdom from those elders, inshallah, and it will put barakah and nur in our decision. The marriage took place at the home of our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, and it was attended by Abu Talib, Hamza, and Abbas from the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the bride side of the family, there was Waraqa bin Nawfal, who acted as the wali of Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, her uncle Hakim ibn Hazam, and the daughter of Abdul Muttalib, Safiya, and a group of ladies from the area where Khadija radiallahu anha lived. The marriage was performed by who? Subhanallah. The first marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performed by Abu Talib, his uncle. And as we mentioned, Waraqa, he accepted on behalf of Khadija the marriage, and the Prophet ﷺ gave her 20 camels as mahr, mashallah. Once the marriage was completed, the entire house filled with warmth and happiness, and there was the playing of the daf, as related by the historians, and Khadija bin Khuwaylid had some sweet, which was served to celebrate the glorious marriage of Khadija bin Khuwaylid to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The home of Khadija bin Khuwaylid and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was full of barakah and full of blessing. And we know that Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, she gave birth to all of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's children except Ibrahim. She gave birth to two of the sons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, At-Tahir and At-Tayyib. And she gave birth to the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were Zainab, Ruqayya, Umul Kuthum, and Fatima alayhim as-salam. All of these children, mashallah ta'ala, were in the home of Khadija bin Khuwaylid. And unfortunately, we don't have that much information about Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. But look at the children that she raised in her home. And by looking at the children that she raised, we can see what type of woman was Khadija bin Khuwaylid. Fatima radiallahu anha was raised on the hand of Khadija. Umm Kuthum was raised on the hands of Khadija. Ruqayya was raised on the hands of Khadija. And another young boy was raised in the madrasa of our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid. And do you know who that is, brothers and sisters? It is none other than Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah! What type of woman she was that she produced such amazing children. Zainab, Fatima, and Ali radiallahu anhum. This tells us, sisters and brothers, that Khadija bin Khuwaylid was the complete package. Because look at the beautiful fruit that was raised in her garden radiallahu anha. SubhanAllah, if you want to know the greatness of Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, look at the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is an authentic hadith, when he said, marry a woman for four reasons. لجمالها ولنسبها ولمالها ولدينها. The Prophet said, أو كما قال sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marry a woman for four reasons. For her beauty, for her property, for her family, or for her religion. Then the Prophet said, marry the woman with religion, may you be blessed. SubhanAllah, if we look at the 25 years that the Prophet spent with Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, we can understand why when he was married to her, he married no one else. Because she was beautiful. Because she came from a good family. Because she was wealthy. And because, most importantly, she had deen. SubhanAllah. Thus, according to this hadith, Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha was a complete woman. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no need to marry anyone else. Some important events took place in the marriage of Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha prior to the advent of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we take an important lesson here that many times our brothers, they say to us, man, I want a wife like Khadija. My wife is not like Khadija. And we say to them, SubhanAllah, brother, before your wife can be like Khadija, She needs a man like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what type of man are you? We look at this early marriage or the early life of the marriage of Khadija bint Khuwaylid to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see something very interesting. Because the ulama, they said that if a man, he wants to make islah, if he wants to correct the affairs of his home, he has a few ways or a few things which he can do which will make this islah. And one of the things they mentioned, and the most important one, is al-qudwa, is the good example. We go to the beginning of the marriage of Khadija bint Khuwaylid to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from this point on, through the rest of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, we're going to see that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was a husband who led by example. He was a husband who led by practice. In fact, in the science of the sunnah, we know that the sunnah is divided into three parts. First are the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. For example, when Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam yaqul," he says, "I heard the Prophet Muhammad say this and that and this and that." The second are the sunnah related to actions. For example, Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummuna Aisha says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمَ فَعْلَ كَذَا. Aisha says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do this, do that, do this and that. The second is the sunnah related to the silent approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For example, one time one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the Prophet that I went to someone's home and there I led them in salah and we prayed 8 rak'ah and then we prayed the witr. And he told this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an authentic hadith, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was quiet. If the Prophet was quiet, we know that this is from his sunnah, because if somebody did something wrong, the Prophet would have checked him. SubhanAllah, if you take these three aspects of the sunnah which is related to the qawl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah which is related to the amal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the sunnah which is related to the silent approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you quantify them, brothers and sisters, which one do you think will be the greatest in number? SubhanAllah, Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest in number are the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers, he led his woman by actions, not just by the tongue. The same for the wife. You have to lead by your actions. A few incidents which happened before the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which show us the great impact of the character of the Prophet. The first is the story of Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha, he was a person who came from a very, very austere family. He was kidnapped from his mother at a young age and taken to Sham, and there he was sold into slavery. And eventually he was purchased by the uncle of Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. The uncle, in fact, who, subhanAllah, he attended the marriage of Khadija, Hakim bin Hazzam. Hakim, he attended the marriage of Khadija. He was the same person who, when he went to Syria, he purchased Zayd. And when he came back to Mecca, he gave Zayd to Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. SubhanAllah, sisters, if you want to know how to win the heart of your husband, listen to this. Khadija bin Khuwaylid, she saw that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of Zayd. And that Zayd, he was very fond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense that they had a good friendship. Although Zayd, he was younger than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had developed a very, very good relationship. And Khadija bin Khuwaylid, she wanted to do something which would please her husband. And many times for our sisters, it's important to realize that it's very important that you please your husband, that you serve your husband, that you make your husband happy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not male chauvinism. This is not trying to rule the woman, but this, subhanAllah, will make the beautiful home, the balanced home. And also, as we're going to talk about later on, the husband has to serve his wife and be good to his wife. Khadija bin Khuwaylid, she gave Zayd to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She gave Zayd as a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Ali sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately freed Zayd, and Zayd, he became the mawla of the Prophet Ali sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zayd's father, who, as we mentioned earlier, came from a very, very rich background, he never gave up trying to find his son. And Zayd, being in Mecca, in those days, Mecca, it was the center of all type of activity. So the people of Zayd, they saw him in Mecca, and they brought this news back to his father. And immediately his father, he set out for the city of Mecca to find his long-lost son. Upon arriving to the city of Mecca, he found out that his son was under one of the sons from the tribe of Hashim, this being Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Zayd's father, he was expecting the worst, that he would go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet would tell him, you know, get out of my face. He's mine now. But subhanallah, now he was going to meet a person unlike any other person he ever met before, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he informed him who he was and who Zayd was, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam if he would allow Zayd to go back with him. And the Prophet said, let Zayd choose. If Zayd would like to go back with you, he's more than welcome. If he wants to stay with me, he's more than welcome. Subhanallah, Zayd's father, he became overjoyed because he was so sure that of course now his son will want to go back with him. Subhanallah, Zayd, he came there and his father asked him, what would you like to do? And Zayd ibn Harith, he said, wallahi, there is no way that I could choose anyone over this man. There is no way I could choose between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and anyone else, because I never found or saw anyone like this person. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Look at the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about your co-workers? Can your co-workers say something like this about you? What about your fellow classmates on campus? Can they say this about you? What about your parents? What about your wife? What about the people around you? Has your character rubbed off on them the way that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his character rubbed off on Zayd ibn Haritha? That Zayd, he chose the Prophet over his own father. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. What type of husband must have the Prophet been? If this was his effect on his servant, can you imagine, brothers, what was the effect on his noble wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha? Another important incident which happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the signs of prophethood came into his life was the destruction of the Kaaba and the rebuilding of the Kaaba by the Quraysh. We know that the Kaaba become very, very damaged, and the Quraysh, they decided to rebuild the Kaaba. Thus, they took on this charge of rebuilding it. And alhamdulillah, they had completed the entire Kaaba, and the only thing left was the stone. And we know that they built the foundations different than those which were built on the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And subhanAllah, everything was going fine until the tribes came to who is going to put the stone. Doesn't this sound like, you know, our communities now? Who's going to be the leader of the masjid? We have the new masjid, mashallah. We have the MSA. Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to do this? And what happens is we run everything over these little secondary issues. They were fighting over who would put the stone in the precincts of the Kaaba. And Umayyah ibn Maghira, he said, whoever comes into this door of the masjid, من يدخل من باب هذا المسجد يقضي بينكم فيه فافعلوا. He said, whoever is the first person to come through the door of this masjid, he will be the judge in this issue for us, and we will agree on it. SubhanAllah, the tribes, they readily agreed, because you have to realize there was almost a civil war over who would put the stone in the masjid. SubhanAllah, lo and behold, the first person to come through the masjid was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did they say? هَذَا الْأَمِينَ رَضِينَا رَضِينَا هَذَا الْأَمِينَ رَضِينَا رَضِينَا. This is al-Amin. This is the trustworthy man. We are pleased with his judgment. We are pleased with his judgment. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked all of the tribes to hold the mantle. He placed a stone in the middle of the mantle. He asked everyone to lift it, and he put the stone in his place. A quick lesson we can take from this is that whenever we're involved in Islamic work, when we're involved in our home life, is to get everyone involved. Because when you get everyone involved, mashallah, everyone's happy, and it keeps fitna away. SubhanAllah, this was the example that Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha took from our Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was this example that affected her and made her, mashallah, one of the greatest women, as the Prophet mentioned, to ever walk the face of the earth.
End of part 1. Please proceed to the next CD.